All right. Good morning. I want to say good morning to those watching via the live stream, and good morning to everybody that's joined with us, the visitors, and just everybody, okay? Amen. You've got to be loud this morning, okay? See, I'm getting more adult. And in order for me to hear you, you've got to be loud, right? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Here we go. All right. All right. As you know, we are in a series called The Lord is My Shepherd, and this is part 8. The title of the message today is Proven Provision. All right? Proven Provision. So let's begin with our Bible declaration. So if you would stand with me, please, now that you sit down and are comfortable, please stand with me. I wish I could have somebody come up behind everybody and just go, hey! You know? All right. All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Let's go. Let's go. You may be seated. You know, I hope you really feel that way this morning, because I happen to believe that the Word of God can change who you are. Amen? Come on. It can change who you are. So you will never be the same after today if you would listen and apply. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. When we study the scriptures, it's so vital that we understand the context of what the passage is written in. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? I've preached it, you know, over and over again. You know, wrong context, wrong conclusion. That's what's going to happen. So in order to better grasp this morning David's words in Psalm 23, verse 5, we need to go back up and read verse 4, okay? Which says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David was really describing a very challenging season in his life. Circumstances and situations had become so dark for him that he compared them to the valley of the shadow of death. How many of you here this morning can identify with David? You feel like you've been going through or have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, things are hard, things are difficult, all right? Yet even in the midst of all these dark, dreadful times, David always remembered and he recognized the Lord's faithfulness in providing for him. He moves on from verse 4 to verse 5, where he says this, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I think David knew this, and I think you all know this too. Experiencing a trouble-free life is just impossible, all right? But trusting God to be faithful and provide is infallible.
Amen.
Come on, say amen this morning. Doesn't he provide for your every need? Everything that you, I'm not talking everything that you want. You might want a really nice car and you don't have a really nice car, but he always provides for all of your needs.
Amen.
Amen. Do you ever go hungry?
No.
Do you wake up every morning?
Yes.
Do you have enough?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The point that I would like to make this morning is this. Regardless of how depressed or desperate and distressed our situation may be, and I don't know about you, but I've gone through some situations that are really dark and difficult, you and I both have the guarantee that God will supernaturally supply. Somehow, now hear me, somehow, some way, no matter what, and in the right timing, maybe it won't be yours, but it's his, in the right timing, God will move heaven and earth to make sure that you have what you need. Okay, when you need it. This is another one of those sermons this morning where, although I normally don't do this, I'm going to do it twice in a series. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, okay? Just to prove a point. But I love the fact that, you know, you can be sitting here this morning and you can have your faith built, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you hear the word, the more your faith builds, right? The more you find out who Jesus or who God is, the more your faith grows. And I don't know about you, but I want my faith to grow every Sunday morning, every day of the week, but especially on a Sunday morning. It's supernatural. It gets down deep into your soul. It does. And then it fuels the fire of the Holy Spirit in order to empower your life. That's why you put the word inside of you. With that in mind, let's repeat together and review Psalm 23 once more in the New King James, which I would imagine, if you're not reading it, you can read it from up here. Are you ready? Are you going to be loud enough for me to hear you?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before... Let's go to verse 5 again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Our key verse for the message this morning is found in verse 5, where it says, you prepare before me, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's pray. And Gary Timmer, could you come up, please? Pray for the message.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word today, God. I thank you for Pastor West today. Lord, I thank you that as he delivers your word to us, God, that it's gonna hit home. Lord, I thank you that each one of us is going to be focused today, God, to hear your word, to learn from you. Father, that Pastor West will have just clarity of speech, Lord, clarity to be able to hear you, Father, and help each one of us to respond accordingly. Father, whether it's with our voices, Lord, as we say amen, Lord, or with our hearts, God, as we need to make some changes. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. I think we all have enemies, right? And enemies, for the most part, represent a threat of some kind to us. An enemy could be a person with an ulterior motive, okay, who is plotting something against you. Or an enemy could be an overwhelming situation that appears to mess with your life. How many of you have had those, both of those, happen in your life? Amen. King David was well acquainted with such enemies throughout his life. It seemed like every time David turned around, he was going through something else. And when you read the book of Psalms, this reality becomes very clear. Again and again, and over, David would pray to God concerning the adversary that he encountered. He was always in prayer about it. That's what the Psalms are about, all right? Just look and listen to what David wrote in these passages out of the book of Psalms in chapters 5 through 7. I'm not going to read all that, but here we go, okay? In Psalm 5, verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. He was depending upon God to show him what to do because of these people. Amen? I don't know. I'd like to know what to do sometimes because of these people. Amen? In Psalm 6, 7 through 10, my eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Lord has heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. I like that. Amen? I like that. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift up yourself because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. And again in Psalm 7, he made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. Jesus once made this statement, and understand, in Matthew 12, 34. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So just the fact that David mentions the topic of enemies so frequently, so often, it's just a clear indication of what was dominating his life and his thoughts and his prayers. And that's true. When you're going through a battle or through a struggle at all, you immediately like to talk to someone else about it. Why? Because that's what's in your heart. That's what you're thinking about. It's your, you know, that's what you're going through, and you got to get it out. Are you with me? Accordingly, he again cried out for God to intervene in Psalm 18. He said this, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Most of us know this next part. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Really? When I call on the Lord, I'll be saved, all right? When I call upon the Lord, I'm going to be saved from who? My enemies. I don't know about you, but I like to be saved from my enemies. I like to conquer my enemies. Amen? All right. Again in verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, whenever your enemies just feel too strong for you, you know who they're not too strong for? God. Amen. Amen. Verse 46 in chapter 7 says this, the Lord lives, blessed be my rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 25, 22. And this goes on and on. Oh God, oh my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame or my hope in you be disappointed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. 25:19 says, consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. Psalm 27, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. All right, even though David was experiencing these just an attack after attack after attack, he trusted in the Lord to deliver him from the hand of his enemies. And I wonder what that's like for you. You know, as so many of us just move from crisis to crisis to crisis, are we trusting in the Lord? All right, does it make us more trusting in the Lord? All right. There are times in our lives when it seems as though we experience, and just like I just mentioned, just attack after attack. And the truth is, we can take a life lesson, if you will, from the life of David. In humility, he asked God to teach him. In faith, he declared victory over his adversaries. You know what? It's time that we started doing the same thing. Amen? Amen. Oh, come on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 27, 11, and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain and even path because of my enemies, those who lie in wait for me. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me. They breathe out cruelty and violence. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me up into the land of the enemy, into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. I mean, there's just so much, and so many times, you know, David talks about the deliverance that the Lord had brought into his life. Psalm 41, by this I know that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. Hallelujah. David had that much confidence in the Lord that he knew that if his enemy was beaten, it was God who was beating him. Amen? Amen. Many times, David declared that his enemies would be swallowed up by the very trap that they had set for him. You can find that in the book of Proverbs, too. I don't know if I should say this. it's the way the Lord showed me to pray for what is going on in our world today. Let those fall in the hole that they're digging for me. Okay? Bless them. Save them. Man, you know, everything would change if you would save them. But if not, let them fall in the hole that was dug for me. Amen. Psalm 57:6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit for me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Glory to God. Psalm 56:9, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. You know, if it seems like you just can't get a victory in your life, ask yourself, have I cried out to God yet? Because you know what it says here? When you cry out to God, then your enemies will turn back. Then they don't pursue you any longer. This I know, because God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? One thing David never seemed to be concerned with, okay, was the thought of praying too much or being a bother to God. How many times, I wish I had a dollar for every time that I heard, well, I don't want to bother God with my trouble. I think it doesn't bother him. You know what I mean? And David never once questioned, at least by what we're reading, that when he needed to go to God, he was there. He went. Nothing stopped him. And you'll see a little more of that as we keep going here. His Psalms clearly show us this principle centuries later that Jesus gave to you and I, and that was keep on asking and seeking and knocking until your request is answered. And somebody needs to hear that this morning, okay? You got to just keep on praying. You just got to keep on asking. You got to keep on seeking and just keep on knocking until your request is answered. Yes. Amen? You know, maybe you've been praying to have a relationship healed, and it's not happening. Keep on praying. Keep asking, knocking, seeking. All right? Maybe your family is falling apart. Then do this. Keep on. Keep knocking, asking, seeking. And I think if that's one thing that we should learn from David's life is the very fact that he never once hesitated to go to God when he needed God. Okay, it was his first go-to, all right? Not his, well, I could go. It was his first choice in the first place that he went. David had this confidence, this kind of supernatural confidence, it seems like, in God's faithfulness to rescue him and execute judgment on the wicked. So listen to what he wrote in Psalm 118, 5 and 6. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Psalm 118, 13. You, my adversary, thrust sorely at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. And all throughout the writings of David, David recognizes God as the one who revives, okay? As the one who makes a way of escape and the only one who delivers. He realizes it's not the strength of a horse. It's not the strength of a man that has ever delivered him. It's God Almighty. And if it wasn't for him, he wouldn't have been delivered from the very first problem. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But David repeatedly and unashamedly appealed to God to bring retribution against his enemies as well. Psalm 109, let my adversaries be clothed with shame and dishonor, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace and confusion as with a robe. Psalm 143, 12, and in your mercy and loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my inner self, for I am your servant.
Amen.
Amen. These verses from the book of Psalms are just a mere sampling, just a touch of all the passages that deal with David's adversaries, his deliverance, and the vengeance that he asks upon the wicked in his life. Without a doubt, David was so thoroughly familiar with God's supplying a way of escape. He also came to realize what his son Solomon would later write in the book of Proverbs. When a man's ways, this is Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, or when a woman's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. Why do you suppose that the Lord said keep seeking, asking, and knocking? There's a lot of reasons, and a lot of them benefit you. But one of them, in a strange way, benefits something God wants, and that's a relationship with you. So you have to keep on fostering that relationship, okay? Keep on doing what you can to make that relationship alive and vibrant. There's a story from David's life that's recorded in 1 Samuel that places him right in the presence of one of his archenemies. It's a story of when he was running from King Saul, who was trying to find David to kill him. He found himself in the very heartland of the Philistines, running from King Saul. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 21 this. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went into Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land?" Do you remember the story? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Verse 12. Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Stop and seriously think about what's taking place here, okay? David had been hand-picked and anointed by God, okay, as the actual king of Israel. And he was being hunted down by the current ex-king, yet reigning king of Israel, King Saul, a man that God had rejected. And now suddenly David finds himself standing before this King Achish, the king of the Philistine city of Gath, the same city that Goliath came from. Great, huh? Really great. He killed the giant to begin with, and now he's stuck in that city. I'm sure they had a lot to say about David. Probably not all good either. But fearing for his life, David had to think and act fast. What did he do? Okay, verse 13. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down in his beard. I really try not to let that happen. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see this man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" And what's amazing here is the entire time David was in the territory of his enemies, God took total care of him. Amen. Amen. Not only did he protect David, but he also fed David, literally in the presence of his enemies. Another example of being supplied for by the Lord in the presence of one's enemies is seen in the life of the prophet Elijah that you preached about, Gary. After being the leader of an unprecedented move of God and witnessing the extermination of over 450 Baal prophets, Elijah received a death threat from Queen Jezebel, and so out of fear, he ran for his life into the wilderness. You know the story. Amen? If you don't, you should get 2 weeks ago's message because Gary tells it. And push comes to shove, when all is done, there he is alone under a juniper tree, hopeless, helpless, exhausted, and totally dejected. All right? The Bible says this in 1 Kings 19, 4 through 6. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Even after he got all this given to him, what'd he do? He went back to sleep. All right. I think it just shows that the depth of Elijah's depression was so severe that that's all he really wanted to do was sleep. He was so depleted spiritually, physically, in every other way that just a single serving of the supernatural food wasn't enough to replenish him and get him going. Consequently, the Bible says in 1 Kings 19:7 and 8, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Just like God did for David, all right, when he was surrounded by his enemies, he did for Elijah. He fed him. He fed both of them. The Lord literally set a table of food and a drink in front of him when he was being hunted down by Jezebel. I mean, his enemies were all around him. Not just once, but twice, two times. God prepared a supernatural meal so that Elijah would have the energy and strength that he would need to make the estimated 150-mile journey from Beersheba to Mount Horeb. It was a divine supply. Okay, a divine... I don't think eating twice would be enough for me if I had to go. I don't walk, you know. I drive my car from my house. It's a half a block away. Not every day. But just as God did for David, he'll do for you. When these were surrounded by their enemies, he literally set a table of food and drink in front of them. Please understand something, okay, this morning. And this is a really different type of message. You know, this is similar to the message that I preached, I think, two Sundays ago, or three, where I read you all that scripture. I don't normally do that. You know, I don't normally have that be the total part of my sermon. But what you have to understand in these stories, that Elijah and David are not the only people God promised to provide for. That's right. Now, you ought to shout at that, okay? You too are guaranteed supernatural sustenance and divine supply, even in the midst of your enemies and your adversaries. We need to remember and we need to realize that when we encounter enemies in our journey through this life, because we're going to, amen? We're going to. We need to learn to look for the table of the Lord, your shepherd, that he's prepared for you, because it will strengthen you for the journey, because the journey is too long for you. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. I don't have the energy. Doesn't matter. God will come in, step in. Okay? What's amazing to me is you don't have to wait for your enemies to leave. God will give you a feast even in the presence of your enemies. Amen? Amen. Next week, we're going to examine the meaning of the statement, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Okay? But remember what the Bible says to you and I. And this is a scripture that came into my mind when I was, you know, basically done with this message, and there was so much scripture, and you know, it just, this is what was given me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Okay? A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, I don't know if I could go wrong by having too much scripture. All right? Maybe the entertainment level won't be as high, but that doesn't matter. I want you to I want you to get it. I want you to get the implanted word of God. Amen. 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 That's able to save your soul. So just like David, we can stand on what God has supplied countless others who serve him. And I'm going to say this again, and I've said it before. You are not the exception, okay? God is no respecter of persons. If he heals one, he'll heal the other. Come on. You know, if he delivers one, he'll deliver the other. God doesn't bless someone with something and someone else. Are you with me? Do you understand? Because God is good. Amen. And all the time? Right, to me. Right, to me. Definitely. So what I want you to understand this morning is, though it almost feels like there was no preparation here for me because there wasn't a lot of me in it, you know what I mean? But your faith got heightened. Anytime you read the word, anytime you hear the word, anytime you're in the presence of the word being spoken, you change. And it's exactly like our Bible chant, if you want to put it that way, says, our Bible declaration, I will never be the same. Say that with me. I will never be the same. One more time. I will never be the same. Now, I'm not apologizing for this message, okay? I want to make that perfectly clear. I'm not apologizing for it. Because I believe that God can do more with his word than even he can do with mine. Amen. 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 So next week, we'll be doing part 9 of this 10-part series, okay? But get into his word and know the supernatural supply that he has for you. You're not going to know it any other way. What God did for David, he'll do for you. Amen. All right? Amen. Good, bad, and indifferent. Because David's life wasn't all blessings from the Lord. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much that your word is so rich and so powerful.
Thank you, Lord.
God, that we can travel through the Psalms and see just where David was, what he was probably thinking, what he was doing. And I thank you for all the things that were done as examples unto us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray that we would take those examples, God, and not, as the word says, lust after the things that they lusted after. In other words, let us learn from what we read. Let us learn from what you show us. Let us learn from what we not only read, but study.
Thank you.
God, I thank you that I don't have to be the same from this point forward as I was from this point backwards.
Thank you, Lord.
It kind of gives me a new revelation of the scripture that said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes, God.
Old things are passed away and new things have come. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
why don't you stand with me?